This is K2BAR, the amateur radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is our TechNet. It is Thursday night, and Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, we all gather here on the Bergen County FM Association repeater for the purposes of carrying on discussions about, amateur radio. Any topic is open. It is a technical net, meaning any topic in amateur radio, by its definition, is technical, is up for discussion. We have a wonderful hobby with many interesting things to do, and we've all explored many of them, and some of us would like to explore new ones, and maybe we'd like to explore ones we've explored previously, but in perhaps new ways. So this is a wonderful time and an opportunity to share your concerns, questions, your hopes and dreams of something never ventured before, or something you'd like to revisit with perhaps a new wrinkle. And we look forward to your doing that. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in order to check in. This net is open to all licensed amateurs of the technician class or higher. At this time, I would like to take any calls of emergency or priority traffic. Please call K2BAR. Mercifully, nothing heard? Okay. The way we establish ourselves here on the net is we call in with our call sign, our name, and whether or not we have a question or a comment or none. But we encourage all amateurs to check in, even if you don't have a question, because you may end up being a resource for the net without even originally meaning to. Everybody has their God-given gifts which they can share with others. So we hope you will consider doing that. And if anyone's listening, I'm backing off the microphone a little bit. Anyway, so at this time, Gilo and their call, please call.
K2AMI, Tony.
Question. Okay, Tony, K2 question.
No comments at this time.
Call K2BAR. Pat, also the Kilo call, please call K2BAR.
Kilo Charlie 2, Mike Charlie, just listening.
Okay, very good. KC2, Mike Charlie, your name, please?
Terry, Tango Echo Romeo Romeo Yankee, Orange, New Jersey.
Okay, Terry, very fine. Long time no speak. Anybody else with a Kilo call, please K2BAR, call K2BAR.
K2BAR from KC2ORX, just listening in tonight, Gordon.
Okay, very good, Robert. KC2ORX, K2BAR. Anybody else with a Kilo call? Okay, Whiskey calls, please call K2BAR.
W4DSA?
W4DSA, is it Dan?
Yes, it is. No questions tonight, just listening. Maybe answer a couple questions.
That was a good thing. Thanks, Dan. Okay, any other Whiskey calls, please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, Don, no question.
W2JEK, very good, Don, thank you very much. Any other Whiskey calls, please call K2BAR.
This is WA2FIV, Bob.
Hey, Bob, good evening, WA2FIV. Do you have a question? Okay, very fine, Bob, no problem. Alrighty, any other Whiskey calls for the net, please call K2BAR. Okay, we've done Kilos, we've done Whiskeys. November calls, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT, Charlie, no questions.
Hey Charlie, N3CRT. Some sort of digital stuff on you, I'm wondering if you're using Echo Link or something. Alright, well we'll talk more about that later. Or maybe some other form of computerized interface to your rig. Who knows? Very good. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to put that on hold as a possible future subject. Any other November calls, please call K2BAR.
N2OEL.
Noel, good evening. N2OEL. Received. Question?
No question.
Okay. Any other November call?
And that's 2K. Jim, no question.
Okay, Jim, good evening to you, and S2K, any other November calls?
And J1W, Dave, no questions.
Dave, NJ1W, very good. Anybody else? Okay, any Alpha calls, please call K2BAR. Okay, any station wishing to check into the net who is not at this time, please call, or up to this time, please call K2BAR with your name, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. Okay, very fine. Well, we have one question and one possible topic at this point in the net. I'm going to go right to John, KC2IGJ. John, good evening, and what is your question? K2BAR.
Good evening, K2BAR, Gordon, and the net. My question, last night I was seeing my dummy load and measuring, especially dummy load with an RF probe. Got a diode and a thousand plus samples. And the instincts were put at 5, 2, and 1. And I'm wondering whether at 144 megahertz you have to build a different device, because I was getting RMS values that would have given me 6.8, 3.7, and something else. Oh, 1 watt. So that's my question. Any comments on that? It's using a 144 megahertz signal, you know, a dummy load, and it's like germanium diode type thing.
Okay, so you're trying to measure power by measuring the voltage across a germanium diode rectifier, or from a germanium diode detector, what do you call it, sampling off of a dummy load. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I didn't get the voltages, but I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure we could work that out. Could you repeat the voltages again, please?
Sure. For the high volt, the high power output, I got 18.5 volts RMS. And for the mid, let's just use the high and the mid power output, I got 13.6 volts RMS. They both seem a dead high by my calculation.
Good evening.
Okay, what did that work out in your calculations?
18.5, I calculated 6.8 watts.
That might be a little high. And the other?
The other one is 3.7 watts, where the setting on the radio is supposed to be 2.
And what battery are you using?
The battery is the custom, or you know, the battery that came with the Yaesu nickel metal hydride, 1400 mAh battery and supply. It was a little bit down on its luck last night, but I would have expected something to be worse. So that's what the normal battery is. 1400 milliamp hour nickel metal hydride and supply.
Actually, that may be within reason. You know, I mean, there must be some sloppiness in your, you know, not in your calculation, but in your in instrumentation that you have. I'm thinking that the voltage sampling may be just a little more lively than otherwise. You have a sampling dummy load, is that what you have?
Yeah, I guess so. It's from a Glenn wine service. It's probably everybody knows that maybe. Anyway, it's from a sort of a getting started website. Small circuit with a main diode and dummy load on the end. Just watch dummy load.
Yeah, well, it seems reasonable. I mean, maybe a little high, but you know, it's not without beyond the tolerances of the radio. I mean, that could be. Looking down the roster, I think I'm going to ask for two opinions or three opinions on this one. Let's see, MS2K, I think, first, then I'm going to ask Tony, and then I'm going to ask Don to render their opinions in order. I think that might be appropriate. MS2K first, your comments?
I haven't been following the threat here closely enough to really go anywhere with it. Sorry about that. MS2K.
No problem. Tony?
I'm not too sure, but of course, the dummy load is 60 ohms. Is that right?
AR based upon those two factors?
Yeah, that's basically what John did. But it's coming up at 6.8 watts and 3.7 watts for high power and middle power on his HT. That doesn't seem to be beyond the scope of possibility with respect to both the radio and the quality of the instrumentation.
Apparently this is just a handheld portable of some type, and it sounds like it's in line. But, you know, there's other factors. Are we sure that we have a 50 ohm load, and is the output network of the transceiver a 50 ohm match? Are we exactly got a 50 ohm system all the way through? If we don't, we'll have an error introduced, obviously.
Yeah, I think it is a 50 ohm load or close to it. I mean, this is one of those hobbyist kits that you can buy. It's got like a John said, like a 6-watt dummy load built into it, and comes with a germanium diode, and basically you build a little kit and you plug your RF into it and see what it does. And so I'm pretty certain that the tolerances on things are within margin. And by the way, your radio could be a little generous on the output. I mean, that's pretty reasonable. What do you think, Don? W2JEK K2AR.
Okay, K2BR and the NetW2JEK. Well, what I do with my QRP equipment here, he's talking voltages and he's talking RMS voltages now. The way I have it set up here, I have built a homebrew watt meter. I use, instead of peak voltage, instead of RMS voltages, I use peak. And what you do there is V squared over 2R, which is so your 50 ohms is the the R times 2 is 100. Your voltage squared is, let's say, 12 volts squared would be 144. And divided by 100 would be 1.44 watts. Now, the way this setup is, I come off the dummy load through the diode, then there was a 0.01 capacitor to ground, and then from there is maybe an RF choke, and then to the actual voltmeter. And what happens is that 0.01 capacitor is charged up, and it reads the peak voltage. And if that's what he's got, that's a different 18 volts. On my chart would say 3.24 watts. I don't know what kind of a measuring setup he's got back in that W2JEK.
Okay, and Peter, I got you in there. We'll get back to you in a moment. John, what do you think? KC2IGJ from K2BAR.
This is KC2IGJ. I was just thinking about all of those ideas. I'm going to start with Tony's suggestion. And Gordon, you mentioned that it's a kit, which it is, but this is all total homebrew, scrounged parts by me. So Tony's point is well taken. How is my dummy load made? It's made by out of a batch of other 2-watt diodes glued together. And so perhaps that's wrong. And Don's point, I understand what you're saying there, Don. I have a 100 megahertz oscilloscope, and this is a new thing for me to have something that puts out 144 megahertz. So I took the HT and hooked it up, and in terms of whether it's a 50 ohm system, take Tony's point that that's questionable as to the, what's on the end, and I'll try the experiment for next week with a better dummy load, but it's nothing but a BNC barrel with this stuff glued on the end. It's about an inch and a half long. So it's a very tight little 50 ohm transmission line. But on the peak voltage, I only have a 100 meg scope. And it absolutely, it probably gives me worse than 3 dB on peak to peak, so I can't rely on peak measurements.
Okay. Well, I think that kind of explains a lot of things. So I think your measurements are within reason. Is there any more we can do for you?
Well, I have a bunch of other questions. I'll leave it at that. So I'll just report that I will take Tony's suggestion, and then I know where to get a better, honest to goodness, 50 ohm dummy load, and I'll try it with that, and I'll give you a quick report next week.
Okay, I have a couple as well, so if you need, let me know. Alrighty. Peter, I was wondering if you had a question. You seem to always have a question for the net. KC2QIM, K2BAR.
K2BAR, KC2QIM, KC2QIM, KC2QIM. Not a question, just an observation this evening. I brought my TS-440 to Calgarevsky Land Air Communications today, and I got the more than 10-minute tour. If anybody's familiar with this gentleman, Cal, he's a very straightforward, typical town. Basically, has almost every rig that has ever been manufactured in his variety of quantum cuts. He has over 3,000 items in inventory. Literally, he brought me into his house and into the various sheds that he has his equipment in. It was basically wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling rigs, all organized in genre, manufacturer, model, the most incredible array of equipment I've ever seen in my life. Over.
Very good. Your signal, by the way, is stinky, but that's really good. If he, I believe he does service. If he does service on gear and things like that, you might want to shoot me an email. I'll include it in the notes for the meeting, the net tonight. If you could do that. Call sign@AWRL.net or ATT.net will be fine. But that's great. Okay. I'm kind of chomping at the bit here because I heard something before that I think I want to know more about. N3CRT, what was that digital bit of, I'll call audio tearing I heard as you first keyed up to identify? This is K2BAR.
Well, I don't know. I have a little frog in my throat, but my wife is watching TV. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I don't know. Is it my voice? I have a little frog in my throat. I don't know.
No, it almost seemed like there's some sort of digital distortion. Sorry about that. Digital distortion on your signal as you first keyed up the first time. It hasn't reoccurred, but I was wondering if you perhaps running your audio through a computer interface of some sort.
No, I actually have it right now hooked up on my Rig Blaster, and I'm actually streaming this over the internet to a bunch of people. Unfortunately, they can't hear my half of the conversation, but from what I hear on the other end from some people on the internet, it works fine.
Well, we welcome the streaming listeners to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Honored to have you as ears. If you would be so kind as to shoot an email to w2tangotangotango@att.com or att.net or arrl.net. That's w2tangotangotango@att.net. We can include you in the listenership. We can also take your questions via the net as well, should you have one. And you'll hear everybody's answers but Charlie's, which, if you know Charlie, may be a blessing. Who knows? I'm just teasing Charlie. Anyway, so you said no to my question and then proceeded to explain to me why the answer is really yes, and that is that you have piped your audio through a Rig Blaster, and that's probably what I was hearing is some digital artifact. Probably from some sort of A to D converter that's otherwise known as your sound card. So that's pretty cool. Charlie, at risking pain to folks on the internet who can't hear you, could we get a general description of what you've done in order to stream your audio from your station, from your receiver, if you will, through to the great internet, and how do people connect to it? That might be kind of cool if you would share that with us. N3CRT, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, N3CRT. I've got a Rig Blaster plug and play, and it has like a fixed audio level coming out of the back of my rig. I have an ICOM 910, and it has a 13-pin accessory cable on the back, and I just run that into my Rig Blaster, and it pipes the audio in into the line into the computer. Then on my computer, I'm running a shoutcast server, and that kind of, if you go to shoutcast.com and you type in N3CRT, it'll come to a link to my feed, and a lot of times I just let it sit on and listen to the repeater. So during the day, if my wife doesn't shut off my radio in the middle of the day, no, I don't want you to shut off my radio. It feeds through all the time, and it's actually, the server is actually running on my computer, and you can just click on it and listen.
Okay, very cool. So, that's very, very cool. So we can actually listen to you here. That's very neat. So, how do we find you? We say shoutcast.com/N3CRT.
Well, yeah, that's one way of doing it, but I also, on my website, www.n3crt.net/technet, where I slowly worked on some of that stuff you asked me to work on tonight, and I'll continue to make it better, but at the top of the page there, I have a link that I think if you click it, and I think if you have like iTunes or Winamp installed, that it should open up and connect to my server. So that again is n3crt.net/technet, T-E-C-H-E-N-E-T, you know what I mean. And you just click on the link and it'll open up. N3CRT back to the net.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I found the TechNet page, and it is getting prettier, I must confess. So I'm in the process of hooking into that and madly trying to secure control of my speaker on my laptop here so that when it comes through, it doesn't come through and totally cause bizarre, echoing because of the digital delay off the net. Anyway, it seems to not have taken place. I don't know. I'm using a Vista machine here, so that could be a source of aggravation. But we'll see. Very fine. Well, glad that we're able to do that. By the way, Shoutcast followed by Shoutcast.com followed by N3CRT doesn't seem to work. We'll have to forego that option, but Shoutcast certainly works. I'm sure we can find you by some sort of search engine there as well, at shoutcast.com. Well, that's very cool. And downloading the Shoutcast server involves what, if I may ask?
Well, are you saying you want to install the server on your computer?
Yeah, let's say someone else wanted to stream audio. Let's say Don wanted to share all his QRP contacts from his station. Could he stream what he hears across the internet with a computer?
Yeah, he could do the same thing with a Rig Blaster. Let's say he already has them recorded on his computer, like he splits the audio out of his rig and it just goes straight into his computer without a Rig Blaster. You know, he's just taking the audio and recording it to file an MP3. Let's say he has a whole archive of all of his contacts. What he can do is load all those in a playlist in Winamp. Winamp connects to the local Shoutcast server on your computer, and you can, you have to do some fiddling with, like, ports on your router if you have broadband at home. A lot, at least on my router, the port that I wanted to use was blocked, so I had to go in there, type in that I want a UDP connection to be allowed through on port 8500, and it directs it to my computer inside of my network here at home, and so people from outside on the internet can click on my link, connect to my computer, and sample what's playing, or listen to the playlist that's active, let's say Don's recordings.
Okay, I was looking at genres, and I assume it's probably talk, because techno didn't work. I came up with it with dance music. I tried to find you with in the search engine by M3CRT, but that did not come up with anything.
Oh, I just did the same thing, and I found myself where it says search for station, comma, genre. Just put N3CRT or just put ham radio, and you can find all the ones that are other ham radio streams.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, I'm connecting to it now. I found it. I guess the first time my connectivity was a little goofy, but that's very cool. This is neat. I have to agree to the license and all sorts of other things, but this is very cool. So shoutcast.com, and just go in the search box and type in N3CRT, and eventually it'll come popping up for you. That's really cool. All righty. So another new tool, and I guess the Shoutcast server is available by the download bar at the top of the homepage.
What was that? W4DSA was typing something in my chat box here. And I was reading it as you were talking. What were you saying?
Yeah. Okay. And you're married, you can't multitask? Boy, you're a dead man. Anyway, I said the toolbar at the top of the Shoutcast website has the option called download. I assume there one can download the server if they wanted to host something.
Yeah. Exactly. Shoutcast, I think they have versions for Windows and they have versions for Linux. There's a better one that emulates the Shoutcast because it's like a proprietary format or whatever. There's another one called Icecast where if you listen to my server on the radio here in real time and then you click on my link and listen to it in the other ear, it's going to be delayed like 45 or 50 seconds. I haven't really figured that out. I don't know if it's the speed of my computer or how many people are listening, but supposedly Icecast, which runs a little easier on Linux, cancels all that out. N3CRT.
Okay, very fine. Well, I can't seem to get up the... I'm clicking on the little speaker gizmachi here, and now it won't... pardon me, I'm using a foot switch every so often and key. It won't seem to connect, so I'm going to have to work on that, but that's fascinating. Alrighty, very good. Well, thank you for sharing that, and my good ear figured out that you were up to something, and of course, and knowing you as little as I do, but as well as I do, I knew you had to be up to something, even if you weren't going to fess up straight up. Anyway, are there any other questions, Washi, are there any other things you'd like to add, Charlie, to this before we go on to other subjects?
No, keep going, doing good. N3CRT listening.
Okay, very fine. Thank you. This is K2BAR. Any other late check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet? Please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Are there any other questions for the net this time? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2AMI.
I hear two stations. Tony, I'll get you first. I just want to know who the other station is first. Who is the other station with a question?
K2IGJ again.
Okay, no problem, John. I'll get you after Tony. Tony, go ahead.
Burton, as you know, there's going to be a VHF contest coming up on the weekend of the 8th and the 9th of September. We have a 2-meter beam that is very long, and I don't know for sure, but it must be between 16 and 18 elements long. And we intend to use, at this contest, a limited installation, and we'd like to shorten the length of that 2-meter beam by removing some of the director elements. If I were to take off 4 or 8 elements, how could I predict the beam width of the antenna, or how could I predict the gain of the antenna I guess I have to go to a modeling program, and what would be your opinion of broadening the beam width and reducing the gain, even though we are running perhaps a preamplifier on the antenna leads, and of course going out, we run an amplifier going out. So hopefully we'll have some electronic gain to the antenna as well as the element gain, even though we've reduced the number of elements. We have found that the very narrow beamwidth sometimes misses a call sign of a weak signal. Just like some opinions from you with your experience.
W2AKR
repeater.
Yeah. This is your lucky day. A couple of things. Number one, especially given that you're trying to also simplify the mechanicals of putting things up. You don't want struts on the Yagi and things like that. I have a 13-element Yagi, with a piece of coax attached to it. It needs a connector at the bottom, but it's all wired up, ready to go. Everything looks handy-dandy and wonderful. It's all been recently renovated, and you can borrow it. I will bring it to you at your earliest convenience, because it's in my driveway right now. And I can run it over to you even tomorrow, if you so desire, or Sunday. Saturday I'll be in Washington for the day, so in half the night, so I can't bring it to you on Saturday. But I'd be more than happy to bring it to you so you have it and you can square it away. It will be decidedly less sharp. I can't emphasize that enough. And I found for QRP Portable, when I was, let's say, doing sprints, single op on the hills, and I was basically hilltopping all by myself during weeknight, and it was cold and rainy often, things like that, that the 13-element, Cushcraft was more than adequate for the purpose. And even if I decided to put like a 5 or 6-element beam up toward New England and leave it there on a switch so I wouldn't have to swing my Yagi as fast or as far, it was still a whole lot easier than to have that amount of directional capability. Because you're going to need to occasionally null people out, not so much the forward game, but have something available to you to null certain folks out when it becomes antisocial, if you will. So I'd recommend that. So that's my generous offer and also my heartfelt advice.
Okay, well, just a final question is that 2-meter beams that I've constructed for both the sideband portion as well as the FM portion. Are you sure that your beam is adjusted for the sideband portion of the lower frequency end of the 2-meter band?
It was last time I used it. I unfortunately had an incident where I had to lop off the connector because something was just too glommed up. But yes, I believe it is set up for the low end of the band. And if it's not, I mean, if you put a connector on it, and we can buzz it out with my antennalizer real quick and adjust the gamma match. It takes about 2-5 minutes.
I have that capability also, and I can try that. Well, let's see if we can coordinate something. I don't know what my schedule is tomorrow at this point, but so you're available, and you can throw it on the truck and just drop it in my driveway at any time. I would be aware of where it came from.
Consider it done. I would be happy to provide that. Not a problem. Just return it after the contest if you would be so kind. Okay?
Okay, now one other point. Peter, it was very noisy, but I just want to indicate, and again, I'm not promoting somebody's business, but I would encourage anybody who would want to be totally amazed at an inventory of radios to go to Al Gretzky's website, and it's one word, landaircom.com. That's LandAircom.com, and look, he's got some more recent pictures up there, and I've dealt with him. I have to admit that he isn't cheap in his repairs, but he's very good, and the investment that you may do into the repair, you'll be rewarded with its extended life that you can get out of the equipment that has been repaired. He's just over in Long Island. It's a bit of a hassle to get there, but it's not impossible. So check out landaircom.com. And if that doesn't work, his call sign is K6 Delta Papa Zulu. K6 Delta Papa Zulu. And search that website, and you'll probably find him too.
Okay. Very good. So I have that. www.landaircom.com, and it's Kilo 6 Delta Papa Zulu, and that's great. I've added that to the notes for the evening. I appreciate your coming back with that. That's super. That's quite super. Thank you, Tony. Anything else?
Negative for comments, but I just would like to indicate, for since we are essentially a Barra group here, that today, with the cooperation of Frank K2HL and Dick K2CB and I, we have the Barra generators with new oil filters and a change of oil. Had them running for at least 10 minutes each, and they're putting out correct voltages, and they're operating correctly. So the generators are ready to go for the contest. And I'm only saying this because I'm trying to get some enthusiasm up for our, quote, VHF field day up at the Nike site. Back to you.
Very good, Tony. My last opinion is you should run 6 meters independently of the others, but I understand you want to keep your efforts down. But 6 meters should freewheel, and the other stations should just simply pass from 2 meters, go from there. I think it'll probably help you a lot. In any case, that sounds super. I think you'll do very, very well. I will provide you with the end connector. It's one of those direct solder-on end connectors. It's pretty cool, and it will fit on that coax just fine. It's between now and probably a while, I won't have time to do it, but I'll make sure that I bundle it up. I'll tape it to the end of the coax, or in the coax bundle that's attached to the antenna already. In any case, I believe we had another question, and that was from, pardon me. Anyway, that was from John, KC2IGJ. John, your question?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry to horn in with some questions, but I'm trying to sort out all of the instrumentation that I have here that's either junk or useful. And the fact that I have been working at sort of like 7 megahertz pulling around at that level. So 144 megahertz surprised me, what I'm not able to do. So another thing that I came up with is not really related to 144 megahertz, but I have a RF analyst that I've worked with somebody, and he's going to analyze it. And I put a 52 ohm, 47 ohm for us, and I know that that's not 50 ohm, but I put a 47 ohm SWR 123 at 2 megahertz. And so when I do a calculation, that tells me that and one of the things that I've come across is an MFJ ad that talks about a tunable measurement filter to put in front of like an antenna analyzer. Supposedly to knock out things like AM and FM local stations. Does anybody have any thoughts on whether this sensing thing is a viable issue around here?
John, I didn't get much of that because your signal is really horribly noisy, but you're asking about some sort of MFJ tunable filter to get rid of intermod. I'm not familiar with that product. But in general, there are things I would buy from MFJ and there are things I wouldn't, and it sounds like to me you found one of the ones I might not, unless I'm just seriously mistaken.
No, I didn't buy anything from MFJ. My question really is, I'm getting an error in a piece of instrumentation. And there's a suggestion both in this ad that they sell a filter for it. And in other places I've seen that simple diode detectors suffer from picking up DC to daylight type stuff in the front end. And so I may be getting erroneous, like if I try to measure the SWR of an antenna, is it possible that I'm also getting junk from WFAN and other flamethrowers out there?
At this range, I would doubt it. I mean, unless you're living like an Alpine under the Alpine Tower or living in Lodi under WABC, I would think not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other opinions on that subject?
Gordon, this is W2JEK. What was his question?
Okay, Don, his question was, if he uses a simple diode detector, is it possible to that he might get erroneous readings due to the broadband nature of a diode detector from, for instance, nearby broadcast stations and other fixed emitters that might have high power in relatively close proximity. And since he doesn't have that condition of being close, really close proximity to, you know, a high power station of one form or another, I don't think it's going to affect his readings through a broadband detector, do you?
W2JEK, yeah, I have a commentary on that, Gordon. We had a, when Father and I were alive, Father was alive, we had a, over at his house, we had a vertical antenna, 40 feet of galvanized rain spouting, and set up as a vertical antenna. My father had built a device known as an antennascope, which is a, basically a bridge-type circuit, and the idea was that you could feed this with a, drive this thing with a grid dip oscillator. We have a Millen tube type grid dip oscillator. And you can turn the dial on this thing. It had a resistor in there, and you could turn the dial and get the impedance of the antenna. And if you did this with the dummy load, the thing would go down to a null, and go right, the meter would go right down to zero. However, with the antenna, we weren't going down to zero. So they finally figured what's going on, dug out the headphones, and sure enough, there he was picking up WABC. Now, that's up in River Edge, which is, I guess, about 3 miles as the crow flies from WABC, according back to net.
So it is possible, but I would think, well, I guess it depends on the, how broadband and how sensitive and what the tuned element was. A 40-foot piece of galvanized, you know, downspout may be different than what John is using. John, what are you using for an antenna that's attached to this detector?
Currently, I'm using either a dummy load to try and calibrate it, or I have tried a 20-meter antenna and a completely horrible result. Finding, you know, maybe it was just completely off, but I couldn't get an SWR lower than 4. And so I started to get frustrated. But there's two instances. One is a diode detector, which I use for QRP power measurement. The other is this thing called an RF analyst by Vortec Research, the advertiser, USB. And that's a small plastic thing that's supposed to be SWR, let's say across the HF. And that's something I bought from a guy at a flea market a couple of years ago. And that's when I use that for, you can also use that to, let's say just measure the SWR of a 50 ohm resistor, and those readings are all high also. So I'm wondering, and it has a diode detector in it, it's a very simple device. So I'm just wondering why everything I have reads high.
Why does everything you have read high? It could be that then. I think Don might be onto something. It wouldn't have occurred to me at that proximity to have that problem, but the dummy load strikes me as a shielding issue or grounding and shielding issue. But other than that, I think you're probably okay. The Outtech is not the most precise way of doing it. I got one of the Outtechs as well in a barrel box, if you recall, last meeting. And by the way, some nice person is really the proud owner of it. And, got someone to take it off my hands, but when I did compare it MFJ, was it 434? I can't remember the analyzer, the antenna analyzer. There was no comparison in the two, so it was not quite as useful or as quick to use. So. I'm sure there are other accuracy issues as well. I can hear my son two floors away hollering at the television. Go figure. Anyway. Oh, dear me. Anybody got an 11-year-old who hollers at television? Anyway, enough of that. So, John, does that answer your question?
Well, I think it'll answer for the time being. I'll scratch my head a little bit. I'm going to do the other test I mentioned. You bring up shielded load. That's interesting. I have a 50-ohm. A dummy load for a Ethernet connection, and if that's covered, I'll try that at low power and see what happens.
Excellent. Okay. I think we've solved our problem for this evening. Any other questions for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, WB4 DSA. Actually, I do have a question sort of related to IGJ's query, and that is, I am in New York City, and I am very close to 1560 WQEW, which is a 50,000 watt clear channel station, and at night, SWL is very difficult. I have an almost impossible time getting anything through their ridiculously powerful transmitter. I'm less than a mile away from it, and according to their published radio map, I'm somewhere in their 3 volts per square meter sphere, so it's a lot of power.
And your question is?
Basically, I'm wondering whether there are any commercially available inexpensive filters that will really allow for a better SWL experience in the city area without going crazy and spending a lot of money.
I would think you could build a high-pass filter that, you know, might have a cutoff around 1800 kilohertz and gradually improve till it gets to about 3.5 megahertz. You probably have to sacrifice 160 meters for your trouble. The other thing you could do is perhaps I'm trying to think how you would build a notch filter for 1130. God. Oh, dear me. I'm going to defer to anyone on the net. Any thoughts on a high-pass filter with a 160-meter cutoff range and maybe a notch filter for 1130 kilohertz?
That'd be 2JEK.
We have 2JEK first.
Yeah, why not just a series tone trap circuit from the antenna to ground that would be resonant at series to, at 1130, just a coil and a capacitor, and tune it so that it would resonate at 1130, and that should suck out the most of it. Either that, or the thing that I've used is a parallel tuned trap in series with the antenna wire parallel, so it comes in, so that it will block anything coming into the radio. I've used that on a direct conversion transceiver that was getting bombarded by WABC. Made up a little, first I tried with a little set type of arrangement, just a big coil and capacitor. And then I substituted a small coil and a small capacitor until I got the results I wanted. Used a crystal set to tune in WABC to the, found a coil that was like one pi of an RF choke, and I found a capacitor that matched up with it to make it more or less a resonant circuit, and I used that in the receive portion of the transceiver. Back to net.
Well, that's a good idea. I like the suck-out filter even better. But that both will work. There you go. So, does that answer your question, Mr. Dan?
Yeah, that's two very good ideas. I think I like the suck-out filter idea myself as well. I was thinking about that. I actually have a related query, if we still have time. In regards to being so close to the transmitter, I tend to have actual problems with the signal encroaching through power lines and every other type of line that isn't shielded or choked or something like that. Does anybody have any ideas of keeping your power supply clean of RF that's so close by?
N2OEL, we'll get you in a minute. Before we go to that, there was somebody else with an answer to your first question. Who was that?
Myself, N2OEL.
No, somebody else in addition to OEL. Who is it?
H2IGJ.
IGJ go first, and then OEL.
AMI also.
Get Dan's call sign, but also, I could probably send him a couple of schematics that I dug up, and there's some, if he's willing to build something, there are schematics in the QRP literature, I have about 3 or 4 references that I can think of. I may be behind my own problems, so if Dan is interested, let me call sign, and I can forward him schematics for the kind of focus to discuss.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, John. That's very good. And 2OEL.
I have two to solve the problem. I'm over here rather close to WABC. I brought both of them into Kidnight, and we took them apart and dissected them to see what they consisted of. One of the filters, the one that cost me, I think, $26 on eBay, is for transceivers up to 200 watts. The other one that I'm holding in my hand is receive only, and I'm going to read it. Receive only BCB, broadcast band filter assembly, non-polarized, 50 ohms, high-pass design, used from 1.8 megahertz up. I have a DX394 shortwave radio. It gets killed by ABC. I mean, I hear that all the way up to 30 megahertz. This thing, you put it in line, and this particular one, unfortunately, has RCA connectors, so I had to use adapters. It's made by Industrial Communication Engineers Limited. Cost me $18 on eBay. And when we took it apart, I believe it was the five-pole filter. The one I in my hand is model 402. You go to their website. They have several different variations for transmitters or just receivers or, you know, transceivers. And that's it. Over to you, Gordon. K2BR and 2OEL.
Okay, very good. That's good to note as well. And finally, K2AMI had some comments.
Two ideas that I have, and if you have just a simple MFJ antenna tuner, one that tunes from 160 meters on up, and you just insert that in the line and use that antenna tuner to peak the signal that you want. In other words, resonate the signal that you want to listen to with the antenna tuner on receives. Now, you probably will wipe out the interfering signal. I've had that sort of problem always on my TS-940. If I turn my TS-940 on with just a plain antenna connection, I get smeared with WABC all over the band. But running it through an antenna tuner, it works fine. Along that same line, the LDG antenna tuner, the automatic antenna tuners, are also bothered by that same problem. If you have too strong an antenna signal coming in that's not the one you want, it also will get confused and go off the ham frequency that you're tuned for. So you need a filter even on the LDG antenna tuner before you go to the automatic antenna tuner. And that's sort of a negative problem with the automatic antenna tuner. Jim Joyce discovered that, and I've noticed it also. And the second item is that when I was doing a couple years back with a lot of crystal sets, I built a simple loop antenna. I took a clean pizza box, and around the outside of the pizza box, I wound wire. I'm not too sure of the number of turns, but it's something in the order of 30 turns of wire. And I taped it to the outside of that edge of the pizza box. First of all, securing the pizza box so it wouldn't open. Then in the center of the pizza box, I put a simple variable capacitor. I think it's 365, the type of tuning capacitor that you use for AM broadcast. And I can use that as a tuned loop, and that also wipes out interfering signals, and it cancels rejected signals, and peaks up the one you're listening to. So the loop antenna or a basic ham radio antenna tuner might help. Out.
Good. Okay. Any further question? Any further answers on this subject?
Yes, W2JEK. Yeah, one thing that I was dealing with, I have a Tentec 1320. That's a 20-meter monoband QRP transceiver. And on the background, the IF frequency on this is 6.144, which is a common computer crystal chip, crystal. And in the background, I could hear Deutschwelle, which is broadcasting on 6.144. And I tried traps and everything. Didn't work too well. But, and I finally sort of gave up on it. Because on my 20-meter ground plane, Deutschwelle on 6.144 was coming in 40 dB over S9. One thing I did do, I have a thing called a rock loop, which is a could be used as a transmitting loop. It's about 3 feet square, fed with a toroid cord, a capacitor for tuning. That you didn't hear that because it's such a high Q antenna that it does not check the 6.144, and all you hear is the 20 meters. One thing that I built, talking about Tony's crystal sets, was a crystal set here, and I was doing some experiments for another project, and I built the crystal set, and as part of the project, I hooked the thing up, and then I plugged the antenna, plugged my headphones into the jack on the front of it, like to take my ears off. It was loud. I wound up taking the headphones off. I found a loudspeaker, put that across, and here it was playing a loudspeaker. I said, well, that's pretty good. I found an 8-inch loudspeaker, which is the biggest one I had. And I wound up, it was operating an 8-inch loudspeaker from just a crystal set, which I had 130 feet of wire on it. That gives you an idea of what kind of power is coming through the airwaves from these big transmitters. Back to net, W2JK.
Sorry, I have to ask. Was that an 8-ohm speaker?
I believe so.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You need a lot of power. It's not like a high Z one. Wow. Okay. Any other comments on the subject? Alrighty. Well, we've gotten through our first hour, and the good news is I don't have a presentation tonight. Want to see if there's any other questions for the net. I'll have one quick comment, and then we're off.
W4DSA comment.
Go ahead, Dan.
I just wanted to let the gentleman know that my call sign actually is. It's W4DSA, and he can reach me at the via email with those schematics on QRZ. You know, just do a call sign lookup, and it'll show my email address. It's a little lengthy to put over the air.
Okay, very fine. So Whiskey 4 Delta Sierra Alpha via QRZ. To go look up the email address there. Okay, very fine. Alrighty, well, we've had really good subjects and questions tonight. I want to give you a quick update on my orange box. The good news is everything went in fairly well. I did add extra cells to the packs that were in the pictures to bring up the voltage a bit in the 14-volt range, just to keep things a little up to snuff. That worked very, very well. And last night, while testing with an antenna way in too close proximity and possibly with a slightly high SWR, I proceeded to pop my Alinco DM330MV power supply. So now when you plug it in, it gives you no voltage and the protect light comes on. I got the covers off and I just couldn't yank the board out of the extruded aluminum case. So I think my power supply is going to be the subject of a kit night exercise in the future, and I'm probably going to have to send it in with somebody to look at that. But for now, my orange box is AC power supply less. That's the good news, or the bad news. The good news is I use that as an opportunity to swing the cigarette lighter plug Gizmachi to the power supply side power gate isolator charging circuit Gizmachi from West Mountain Radio. One thing I did do also is I'm going to contact West Mountain Radio regarding the alarming in the rig runner, because I would like to set the high voltage threshold to be a little higher than what they said. They say it's 15 volts, but it's 14.7. The thing is, it produces an audible alarm. So I'd like to set it to 15.1, which would be plenty to alert you in sort of an emergency, because, you know, if something goes wrong with your power supply, if it's above 15.1, then you really do have a problem, especially under load. So that's going to be something we're going to fix. going forward.
W2AKR repeater.
Alarm, and also a little LED that says over voltage. Now, on one of them, I did set it to be low voltage sensitive, but the LED still comes on because it's above 14.7, even though they say it's 15 volts is the threshold for the LED to come on. And there's no adjustment for that, so I'm going to see what I can do about strapping an appropriate resistor in parallel. I've got to figure out what the circuit is for the rig runner, and away we go. But anyway, that's the latest in our shop here. One thing I do want to point out, because everybody says amateurs don't build, they don't measure, they don't do things. I was listening to what people are doing and why they're asking the questions they're asking tonight. And new hams and experienced hams alike, people are building stuff. They're building little gizmachis, they're building antennas, they're doing this, they're doing that. I'm really pleased. I think the technical state of the art is just fine and alive. Thank you very much. And I don't think it's deteriorated too badly, at least not in this audience. So you all should be proud of yourselves as good amateurs doing what you do, no matter what your state of experience might be. I hear what I'm hearing. And anything else for the net, please call K2BAR. Okay, well, as Tony pointed out, we have VHF Field Day on the second weekend in September. It is the contest, but Barra's going to treat it like a field day, which I think is pretty cool. A little lower impact on setup and such like that. And it should be a delightful time, and I'm sure it will be well provisioned. I suspect NS2K will have something to do with the provisioning of that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to be there myself, but I'll tell you, it's going to be a wonderful time, one way or another. So I think people should, take some hours, even if they're not available the whole weekend, and participate. I think it'll be excellent. It's a Saturday to Sunday kind of affair. It's not Monday to, or Friday to Monday like it has been in the past. So with that note, I'm also going to remind you that the Bergen Amateur Radio Association's next meeting is the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. I believe that is the 2nd of September, September 2nd. And that's pretty cool. And I'm also happy to announce that in my troop, I think I'm going to be presenting 3 or 4 radio merit badges the fourth of September at our Court of Honor. And that's pretty cool. And also, one last thing is that KC2OAA will have its Eagle Court on the first Sunday afternoon in November. So that's very cool as well. Drop it. One last thing is that the Bergen County FM Association is gracious enough to let us use their repeaters for 3 of our 4 weekly nets. This repeater is used on Thursdays for the tech net and also Wednesday nights for the 2-meter net hosted by Ben, KF2IB, and also the 443.100 repeater. And the net control for that is 2KIS and will be N2OEL once Andrew and Barbara leave shores for Australia. And last but not least, by the grace of God, the FCC and the ITU, and probably the intervention of the American Radio Relay League many times over the last almost 100 years, we have the use of 28350 upper sideband on Monday nights for the 10-meter net, and that's hosted by K2ZO. So, last call for the net. Any questions, comments, or confusions before we secure this is K2BAR. Well, thank you very much for a wonderful night and a wonderful net. And shucks, we're getting out a whole 41 minutes earlier than we did last week. Thank everybody for their patience last week and for their great inputs as well. And I'll hang around after that if there are any questions, comments, or confusions. This is K2BAR, turning the repeater to normal amateur use. This is W2TTT, Gordon.